The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Oh, God, and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay. We got JR. And we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Thursday. It's not just a Thursday. Oh, no, it's an NFL preview Thursday. It's a deal-breaker Thursday, all part of this show here on ESPN 1000. Thanks so much for turning the lights on for me. I appreciate it.
Hey, we've been doing this show for 2 years. Shay, JR, back me up. There have been like 2 days because it was so dark when it was raining so hard that it was like pitch black in the morning. Other than that, we never have turned the lights
out. That is a lie. That's a lie. That shows me a lot about what's going on around here. If you don't think the lights are on every day.
Shay.
The side lights are on. Like,
there's no shot that those lights are on every day.
Not a surprise that you wouldn't recognize that. You and Cap wouldn't recognize that. The idea that you think that we come in here without lights. What? How about this? Turn the lights off. Turn the lights off. That's how we do the show every day?
Yes, every day.
That says a lot about you. I've always suspected that you come in here with the lights off. I mean, your actual lights are off every day.
I mean, you yell at me because I sit upstairs in the studio with the lights off. The lights are off back here in the producer area. The lights are usually off in the studio as far as I know.
No, the lights are not off every day.
I know that they're off now.
You guys have no idea what you're talking about. Every morning, the lights are on. At least put on the side lights here.
No shot.
Turn up. Because you have no clue. Not the TV lights upstairs. The ones on the side. There's two sets of lights here. Those are on every show.
Those little things might be on.
They're on every day. I ask you one time to turn the lights. We never have the lights on. You know why? Because you never turned them on. Usually at home, you have Alexa turn your lights on. So you're not even used to turning the switch on. You haven't turned a switch on since 85.
Wow.
So what are you talking about? Before it was the butler. Now it's Alexa. No clue. None of you guys have no clue. I just ask you because it's September. And it's getting darker, especially here. It's 7:03. Turn on a little side light for me. We never have the lights on. You know why? Because you never turn them on. And God forbid Shay turn a light on in here.
No, you know what? I did turn the lights on. Right when I started, I would turn the lights on back here and in that room every time when I got in. And then JR would come in and he'd turn everything off.
Right.
So now I've just developed night vision, and now I work in the dark.
I mean, I'm part vampire. You know this.
I understand that, but there's always been a side light that's been on. Not these big TV lights. We don't have those on. No, we don't need that. But the idea that we just work in the dark 12 months out of year, you have no clue.
Oh my God.
None. You have no idea.
Isn't it amazing how indignant he gets?
Not indignant.
When 3-1, we're like, it doesn't happen.
JR, have you not seen me turn on the side lights in here? There's always some glimmer of light in the studio. There's no one. I work with you. I work enough in the dark. I'm going to have at least a light on. Are you serious?
Football's back.
How about the lights, though? The lights come on, are on every day.
Whatever.
Football's back.
And the lights are on, and I'm glad about that.
Oh boy.
My God.
Football's back.
Alexa, turn on the lights. I don't have to turn them on. Alexa turns them on.
Hey, Alexa, turn on kitchen sink light.
I hope that's not happening.
Around Chicago. So good.
We did that once on the show where it was like, hey, Alexa, turn on Cap and J Hood. saying, hey, wait, what happened there? Like every you know, radio and every stereo had Cap and Jay Hood on. That's how that works, right?
That's how it works.
Let me just tell you something, Cap. Today, you know, it's funny. We've talked about this before. Like, what's the best days of the sports calendar? And so, but you've never said opening night for the NFL.
No.
So if you gave, if I asked you to give me your top five, you know, like sporting events, like must sporting events on the calendar year, March Madness is right there, day one, right?
Day one, too, that Thursday, Friday where you got games all day and night.
Right.
Okay, that's one.
Okay.
In no order here. That would be one.
Kentucky Derby?
That would be two.
Okay. Opening day?
That would be three.
Okay. Is NFL outside of the Super Bowl at all in your top five?
No.
Just the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl.
But not the first, not wild card, not the first weekend
of the
NFL?
No, they're all great. I don't dislike them. They're great. But that would be four, the opening, the Super Bowl. And fifth would probably be Sunday at the Masters.
March Madness?
I said that already. Thanks for listening.
yes. Yes. So, but opening night for the NFL is not in the top five.
No.
Is it in the top 10? Let me stretch it out. Top 10. Okay. So what about the first weekend of the NFL playoffs? Does that make it?
Yeah. The first weekend of not the wild card round, the next round, the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that would be top 10.
Okay. So what else are we missing here? Anything else? Horse racing is just Kentucky Derby, right?
Yeah, and if I've got a, if there's a horse that's going for the Triple Crown, then the Preakness and the Belmont would certainly be in there, but nothing like the Derby.
Okay. First weekend of the playoffs for Major League Baseball?
No.
Just the World Series, an opening day for you.
Correct.
Baseball.
Correct.
Basketball, opening night? The
no.
Doubleheader?
No.
You know I love it.
Yeah.
National Championship? Yes.
Yes, that would be in the top 10.
Okay. I'm a college football fan. I like week one. It would be in my top 10, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there for me.
Yeah, maybe.
But where is opening night for the NFL? Shay, where is it? Is that even a thing? Top 10. Now, you're looking out. Here's what you were telling us in the meeting. I can't wait. NFL, right? We've got Buffalo and Los Angeles tonight. Is it even in your top 10?
It's a funny question because I don't know that it's in my top 10, but something about tonight. And the way that the Thursday night matchup, like a year ago, was Bucks Cowboys. Tonight, it's Bills Rams. It's always so good. It's such a prime the pump moment. Like, I have a different energy about myself today because the Shield is back in action. Like, that's huge. Like, I'm going to be locked in on Bills Rams. Stafford versus Allen should be an awesome atmosphere in LA. Defending champions, the best team ostensibly in football. The Bills are coming to town. It should be an electric game. I have a different energy about myself, but just like the Thursday night NFL opening night on its own, I don't know that it cracks my top 10 sports days.
Now, how about that? Now, here's a guy excited about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Not in his top 10 of sport. Now, again, for me, NFL starts Sunday.
Same here.
Week one.
Like tonight, I'm going to Ravinia.
Excuse me?
I'm going to Ravinia. I'm bringing my iPad. I already charged it up.
I was
going to
say, is that the event, the Thursday night game? Is that on the big screen at Ravinia?
No, Stevie Nicks is in concert. And all my kids are coming with their significant others, wives, daughter-in-laws, my grandson, all four of my boys.
She's still alive, huh?
She is.
Oh, it's not a, it's not a tribute.
Good.
It's not a tribute act.
Stop it.
I'm asking.
You know, you. What are you... You stand in that seat and you kill people like I used to?
I'm just asking the question.
Stevie Nicks is going to be at Ravinia. My wife will be there early,
yep.
Set up, ready to go. I have to work. And then it's off to Ravinia and to see Stevie Nicks, and I will have the game on my iPad.
Any undercard there, or is it just her?
I have no idea.
Got to have an undercard.
I no idea.
No? Okay.
That, to me, Kaplan, is nuts. If my wife came to me and she's like, hey, we have a concert Thursday night, and it's the same night as Bills-Rams NFL opening night, no shot. I'm not going. Sorry. Take a friend. Figure something out. Get a fill-in. I'm at home. I'm locked in on the game. No shot.
So I should tell my four kids, my three daughter-in-laws, yeah, my wife, you know what? I'm out. Bills-Rams. Like, if I said... hon, I can't go. Bears are playing. I have to do the post-game show, which I will on Sunday on TV.
Yeah.
That's a different story. But my wife would already say, hey, I know you're not going to be at the concert. You got to work. Or even if the Bears were playing and I didn't have to work, I would still be locked in on the Bear game. Bills Rams. Hey, hon, yeah, tell the whole family go F themselves. I'm watching Bills Rams. You're a child.
Well, I think in my experience, because I would do, if I were going to go, I would do the same as you. I'd bring the iPad, I'd watch it on the screen.
Oh,
but
man.
In my experience doing that, I think my wife would rather me not be there and go with someone who's going to be locked in on what she wants to do and be attentive rather than have me there inattentive watching a football game.
Yeah, my wife's not like that.
Yes.
Mindy would say, we got the kids there. Whatever the spread of food is she's getting. She's getting some kind of barbecue.
Right.
And Brett and I will be huddled over that TV, over that thing. The music will be playing. It's a beautiful summer night. It's the last night we're going to Ravinia this year. We're doing it as a family. Yeah, no, David's at home. He's in the basement watching Bills and Rams.
You don't have to be in the basement.
Well, that's where I have my big setup.
Yes, that's where the man cave is. Okay, I'm going to box you in here. How about this?
Me or him?
You, Cap. I'm going to box you in. No TV. Okay, no TV. You don't have to do any post game. You know, a couple years ago, this game was the Bears and the Packers.
Correct.
It was the first game of the season. Nonsense. Awful game. Throwback game. Throw up game. Because the Bears are so
10
bad.
10-3 they
yeah,
lost.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible game, right? Bears, Packers, and also you have Ravinia. But you got no TV. You got no responsibility. Are you watching it at home or are you still at Ravinia? Bears, Packers.
I'll be at home.
And she would understand that, right?
Yeah, because I have a radio show with you that 99% of our content going forward now for the next 18 weeks is the Bears.
But ultimately, because we won't be discussing a lot of Buffalo, Los Angeles, you're like, you know what? I'll check in and see what's going on, but I'm still going to enjoy watching Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
By the way, you won't be seeing her, will you? You'll be on the lawn. So you'll be watching her on TV?
Yeah, she'll be on the big screen right in front of me. I don't like the pavilion. I don't sit in the pavilion. I like to spread out on the lawn.
Yes.
Eat what I want to eat.
Yes.
And that's that.
That's what the rich do. I understand that. There's no question. Why would you be
the
with
rich
the
rich are in the pavilion where their expensive seats are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. But I think that you have your own spot, don't you? Don't the Kaplans have their own tree and their own spot of grass?
No, my wife gets in line like 3.5 hours before.
Yeah.
And then when they open the gates, she rushes to get a good spot.
This tree reserved for Sparky Kaplan.
That's what I saw. When I went to go see Stevie Wonder, I saw the Kaplan tree where you can only be in that spot. That's your spot, your reserve spot,
yeah,
right?
No, not that wrong Kaplan.
You've got there's only one Kaplan that I know. In that area?
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Like 174 with each first name.
And so it's you with the long French bread, right? And the little picnic basket, like Yogi. The little picnic basket.
Yeah.
And you've got all of your goodies in there.
Yeah.
And the picnic basket and the long French bread and the nice spread.
Do you know when we got married, my wife changed her name? My wife's Greek.
Yes.
She changed her name. She was Mindy Semitis.
Yes.
Now she's Mindy Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into this store and she signs up for like the rewards program.
Mm-hmm.
White House Black Market. It's the clothing store. And she said, they go, oh, Mindy Kaplan. Yeah, she goes, you're not going to have many of those around here. And the lady goes, we have 16 of them.
Right.
Honest to God. My wife comes home. There are 16 Mindy Kaplans in the Chicago, in the northern suburbs. So, yeah, no, I'll watch the game on the iPad. I will make sure I know exactly what happened. But, Shay, there are more important things than football tonight. It's family.
Well, I mean, there's football. Now, I'll be watching. I'll be watching this game.
Brian.
I have tickets to the Sky to see them close it out against Connecticut. I'm going to be watching the football instead. I won't go to Wintrust. I'll actually watch the game because I figure we're going to talk about that and some other stuff too. So, but I'll be watching the game. It's opening night. I'll keep my eyes on it, and then I'll be watching the other stuff.
Yeah,
and the Sky on the big
Sox
screen.
Sox in the late night game at Oakland.
Do I have duty or do you have duty for that?
I will handle that.
Okay.
Okay. I got that covered.
You can go to bed.
I got that covered. I'll be up.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We want to hear from you this morning. Coming up next, Cap and I will talk about the Bears 49ers part due. Remember last year's game? What about last year's game versus what we might see coming up on Sunday? We'll compare and contrast coming up next, along with Shay and JR and Cap and Jay Hood. It's the morning show on ESPN Chicago.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're with us here on this Thursday. Coming up, we have Shot or No Shot at 8 o'clock, and also we will give our NFL predictions. And an hour from now, Cap and I will give our predictions about what's going to happen, who's going to go to the Super Bowl, who Cap has a ticket on, and how the NFC North and other divisions are going to fare. We're going to have that coming up around 8:15.
Yep, I've got the Bills, which I've had that ticket for a while. I have the Raiders I have a ticket on. So those are the two. Thought about the Chargers. Thought. Haven't plunked the cash down just yet.
With the Raiders thing, I think it's a good pick. But I will just tell you, with a wink and a nod, be careful of the undisciplined nature of the Raiders. No matter who's coaching, a blank load of penalties that hold them back a lot.
But Josh McDaniels comes from a place where penalties aren't tolerated.
I understand. But it just like Eberflus and the Bears, though, to me, it just takes time. Mm-hmm. You come in there, you give all the speeches that you want, but it takes time to figure out, okay, who's going to be listening and who's not? You know this as a coach. I don't have to explain this to you. You know this as a coach yourself, Cap. Like, you have certain players that you recruited, and you thought, this person will be able to conform. This person will be able to understand our system. And he still has old high school habits, still doing the same stuff because he was a man in high school, and now he's just the third or fourth guy on this team. And sometimes it just takes a while for people to understand, like, hey, man, this is a new ecosystem here. You got to be able to buy in or get out.
Do you know that we had a game, I'll never forget it, and we had a guy who Coach McDougal used to go nuts saying, this guy just doesn't have his mind into the game.
Mm-hmm.
We break the huddle. There is 10 seconds left. We're up one. They've got the ball. No fouls. Mm-hmm. With 1 second left, he runs over and grabs the guy.
Yeah.
They make the two free throws. We lose. What were you doing? I thought we were down one, coach.
Yeah.
You what? Mm-hmm. We said specifically to you in the huddle, we're up one, no fouls.
Right.
Some guys were under pressure, revert to individual tendencies.
Right. So sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. And that's when you weed those people out. And McDaniels and as well as Eberflus and a lot of these other coaches that are coaching for the first time with their new team, they got to figure that out. And it's the same thing with this Bears team. So I remember the 49ers defeated the Bears last year, 33-22 at the lakefront.
Mm-hmm.
And we were optimistic because the Bears had an opportunity to win that game. They surrendered 16 points in the fourth quarter and lost the game 33-22. But in that game, Justin Fields, 19-27, good for 175 yards and a touchdown, sacked four times. But what do you remember about that game? Because at least you saw points on the board. That's what I remember.
You saw points. The Bears led at the half. The Bears led at the end of three quarters. And I remember watching it thinking, wow, this would be a quality win. And then they got outscored, what, 18-6 mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I believe so.
18-6.
Yeah.
And it just got out of control.
Now, here's the difference. This year, there is Getsy as the offensive coordinator. In that game against the 49ers last year, it was Bill Lazor.
Correct.
He was the quote-unquote offensive coordinator. Of course, that always was murky, right? We couldn't tell if it was Nagy or if it was Lazor.
It was Nagy just, and he would tell everybody what they wanted to hear. He got tired of, are you going to hand play calling over to Bill Lazor? Like, it really mattered.
Right, because it's about personnel and play calling.
It wasn't Bill Lazor's fault.
Right.
It was Matt's system, and it didn't work. For whatever reason, it didn't work.
As Mark Potash wrote in the Sun Times this morning, the 22 offensive points were the fourth highest total of the Bears' 26 against teams that made the playoffs in Nagy's four seasons. That's a lot. Justin Fields rushed, 10 times, good for 103 yards. So he was getting it done on the ground, so he liked that. Mooney had a good game. Jesse James, the tight end, had a good game as well. 175 yards receiving in that game for the Bears against the 49ers. Now, this is when Jimmy Garoppolo was on the other side. So now, when I tell you that there's Fields that's going to be starting in this game, last year, it was Fields, Khalil Herbert. There was no Montgomery in this game.
He was injured.
Yeah. So Mooney, Jesse James, Marquise Goodwin, Cole Kmet, 3 for 24 in that game. Allen Robinson was on this team at the time.
He had 3 catches, I think, in that game.
21 yards.
Yeah, I remember he was a non-factor.
So let's compare and contrast what the Bears have now versus during that game. What do you think the difference is?
I expect them to have a better quarterback.
Better than last year.
Than last year.
Yeah.
I expect them to have a more balanced, run-oriented attack. Now, beyond that, I don't know what I expect because I don't know what I can get other than Mooney and Kmet from EQ Brown or from Byron Pringle. I just don't know. Valus Jones didn't practice yesterday. I mean, if he doesn't go today, he's obviously not going to play on Sunday. That's a weapon you lose.
And even if, Cap, even if he is not going to be part of the receiving core, you sure as hell would like him in special teams.
Yes. He's the fastest dude on the field. And then look at the numbers. I don't remember the exact number, but I remember, what's his name? Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
I think he had 175 yards in receiving. That guy's a beast.
Yeah, 6 for 171.
171.
Yeah, he did not score a touchdown. He didn't score a touchdown, but indeed he had a big game against the Bears last year.
And Jimmy G threw for over 300.
That's correct.
And he's a backup now.
Mm-hmm. So this is why I think you're leaning toward the Bear in this game. You have not given an official prediction, but I think based on me talking to you this week, I think that you lean the Bear.
No.
I think you in the point spread, I think that you lean the 6.5.
No.
We'll find out on Friday, but just based on your commentary, it sounds like you might be leaning. Or you might be just trying to fade the public. Maybe you will take the Bear, but you won't say it on the record. You do that from time to time.
No,
too,
I'm leaning right now to laying the 6.5. I probably won't bet the game.
Mm-hmm. Too tight? Not sure?
I see the Bears springing the upset? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Do I see the Bears playing it close? Yes. If you held a gun to me and I had to make a pick, I'd probably say the 49ers win like 27-17,
mm-hmm.
something like that,
mm-hmm.
27-20.
So that means you're not sure about the Bears' defense more than anything else.
Yeah, I just don't know how they're getting to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Now, Yurko would tell us in Crosstalk yesterday that the defense will be much improved. And he gave us numbers from last year. But Khalil Mack is not on this team, and Akeem Hicks is not on this team, and Trevathan, and I'm just like, those numbers are good last year. Those, you know, but again, that's a wash now because a lot of those guys are gone. Right? This is a whole bunch of different players on this defense.
You have Muhammad at the other rush edge. You have Robert Quinn coming off a career year. He is the all-time Bears single season record now for sacks. Roquan Smith is obviously playing to get paid. I like the back end of the defense much better. I think they'll be okay defensively. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's going to take time.
Yes. Yes, it will. So let's talk about this. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. The Bears offense, is it better now or was it better against the 49ers last time? Again, the Bears lost that game 33-22. But how do you see this offense versus last year's? Also, we'll talk a little bit about the Bears as far as how you'll be viewing this Bears game coming up on Sunday. All part of the mix right here on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood. Mornings at 7 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. We cannot wait for the Bears season to start on Sunday. Of course, we've been talking about it all week because football is finally here, Cap. But then, of course, we got the kickoff tonight. Thursday night football, the opener, the lid lifter, as it will be the Los Angeles Rams, the champs. And you got to put them on, right? You've got to put them on a national stage for people to see.
They deserve to be on a national stage. And then you got the Buffalo Bills rolling in. It's mm-hmm. a really good matchup. I will be absolutely watching the game while I'm with the family. Absolutely.
Now, you know how much I love college football.
Yes.
You know this.
Yes.
It's my heart. I love college football, the pageantry of it, the feeling that in some towns in this country, if their team loses, the season's over. They shut down the town. You can't Correct. Get to a grocery store. You can't,
Correct.
You can't get to a hardware. Because our team lost. I don't know what we're going to do. Like right. that kind of thing, right?
Right?
This has that college feel in this regard. Big game, big spot, week one. For some, when they have these big time games for week one of college football, it's either make or break. Either you win the game, and if you lose it, you have no shot for the national championship.
Agreed.
It's crazy how that works, but it's that thin in college. But in the pros, we're going to see tonight, two behemoths, two teams that more than likely will have a long playoff run, and we'll see what happens tonight. That's good theater.
Great theater. And Buffalo, you know, feels like they could have won it last year. They lost in overtime in a hell of a football game. Not that a game that I'd sit down and watch again, but it was wildly entertaining then.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is a great matchup, but even if they get on the plane and go home 0-1, everyone still thinks they're going to win 12 games and be ready to roll in the playoffs.
Brother, if that's in college, man, it's all over. That one loss?
If Alabama lost tonight.
It's over.
Or Ohio State or Georgia, they're like, season's over.
Yeah, exactly right. No shot.
No shot.
Nice bowl game, but the season's over. No chance for a national championship. That's how fleeting it is in college. But
that's
pros is just great theater. So, Cap and I want to talk to you about last year's game. And it's a game in which we saw a glimmer of light offensively for the Bears. Yes, it was a loss, but it's 22 points. That's a mountain of points under Nagy. A mountain of points. So we want to talk about last year. Bears offense, better or worse than the game against the 49ers last year? 312-332-3776. This is a question that kind of measures your optimism about the Bears offense as we go to Ace and Aurora, who leads us off here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Ace.
Hey, morning, fellas. How's it going, Hoodie? How's it going, Cap?
What's up, Sparkles? How are you?
You got it, Twinkles. Hey, look, I think that the team overall is going to be better, especially the offense. So I'm more optimistic right now in the offense than I was last year. Last year, you kind of didn't know what to expect. You've seen some of the tools that Fields had on, you know what I mean, in the game. But now, he's had time to prepare. He wasn't held back with anything. So I'm excited about it.
So Ace,
and the unknown is the weapon.
It is unknown, but it's unknown, but yet you're optimistic, which I got a hard time balancing. So you're saying that the Bears are better without Allen Robinson, who is going to be a catalyst for the Rams this year.
Yep. I think the Bears are better without Allen Robinson. And the thing is I was a big Allen Robinson fan, don't get me wrong. Unfortunately, that game, he didn't show up for whatever reason. But at the same time, you know, I think out of the couple of receivers that they do have, you know, you only know Mooney, you know, Pringle is like, you know, but I'm still excited because I saw the tools that Justin had himself, not just his arm, but his legs. So he had a real will to win. And I think that coupled along with better coaching and better situational football, I think they're going to win a lot more 50-50 games, you know, six, maybe seven, you know. I'm a realist. I don't think they're going to go to the playoffs, but I think they will win more games because some of those 50-50 games, they're not going to kill themselves in.
What do you think?
Look, and we appreciate the call, Ace. You're the man. Last year, if you just rewind the hands of time to the Thursday before the first game, I'm like, freaking Andy Dalton starting.
That's right.
Like, at least it's Justin. It's his team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy's going to get his head kicked in this year because I don't think they have enough talent around him to support him.
Justin.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I think there are going to be moments he's going to hit a long pass or he's going to make a splash play and be like, see, why can't we do more of that? Because we don't have the talent on the roster. There's a great article in The Athletic that I highly recommend everybody read. Dan Pompey talked. That guy's in the Hall of Fame, Dan Pompey.
That's right.
He gets anyone he wants. Three scouts that are currently working for other NFL teams. He said, I want you to break down every position group for the Chicago Bears. And they are brutally honest. Like, I don't know why they picked up Alex Leatherwood. That's a reach. Why they did this. I love that they did that. Like, there's a whole bunch of really good intel, but you see what scouts are looking at with this team going, I just don't see it.
Could you tell me the Cubs equivalent of this roster for the Bears? What year under Theo?
I would say 2013.
Who's the starting pitcher that you paid through the nose for?
The Edwin brother? Jackson.
Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
$55 million?
52.
52
yep.
million?
Yep.
This is kind of what it is, right? It's like, we'll pick up some guys off the scrap heap, but we're not ready to win.
Correct.
That's what this is what the Bears feel
now,
like.
Now, one
right?
thing Ryan Poles did that Theo, I mean, Ryan Poles didn't that Theo did, Theo has admitted, yeah, we jumped. We shouldn't have paid Edwin Jackson. We weren't A, ready to win. He wasn't the guy. Mm-hmm. We went, all right, we got to beat somebody. We're a bad team. We'll have to overpay. Let's get a quality arm. Turned out he was a journeyman. The Bears wisely, now maybe they got saved from themselves on Larry Ogunjobi, mm-hmm. who, by the way, is starting for the Steelers.
Cool.
On a 1-year, $8 million deal. He failed his physical here at $13 million a year. Failed. You're out. And then they got Justin Jones. At looking at this team, they did not invest in, let's buy a hood ornament. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I respect what Ryan Poles did there.
I wanted to get that Cubs equivalent out and ask you because that sounds like at the time, and I think we all knew that, the Cubs were not ready to win.
They were not.
I knew the Cubs were going to win the World Series under Theo. I just didn't know what year. I don't have a Sox equivalent for you because 05 just came out of nowhere. That team wasn't supposed to win the World Series.
Correct.
Absolutely not.
Correct.
It was just a miracle pitching, you know, great offense when you needed it, especially late September into the playoffs.
Yep. So, and great chemistry.
Yeah. So 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Zach is on the west side. He joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, fellas. Great day to talk to the Bears. Looking forward to this weekend's game. Mm-hmm. I really think that, you know, our running back and our running game is going to make a difference this year. You got two, possibly three guys that can really make moves, that can run you over, and that can catch out of the backfield. And I think that when you add another weapon like that with Cole Kmet, with Darnell Mooney, you know, we got to get one or two receivers that can catch lightning in a bottle and have a great season. And if that happens, I think you can push eight wins this year. I think that the offensive line is better. And most of all, guys, the mental health of this team has to be better than it was last year. You look at the offense with Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor. Who's going to call the offense this week? I mean, if we were worried about it as media and fans, imagine what Justin and Mooney and Cole went through last year.
Zach, the Bears were bad for all of our health, right? Last year, last 4 years.
Not good.
They've been bad for our health since Lovie. So you really think about it, it's like, man, you know, you want to root for them, and there's a cautious optimism there. But I really think that the mental, just them being motivated, I think that that's there. And I'm looking forward to seeing a younger, better product on the field this year. And the field is better, too. So let's keep going with that.
Come back to us in week 3 about the field. We'll tell you about it.
Yeah, well, let's find out how this Bermuda grass holds up over in cold weather. Because Yerk was saying when you golf, they have to do something, even in Florida. Mm-hmm. When it gets a little chilly down there, it'll be freaking freezing here.
Zach, we appreciate the phone call. Is the Bears offense better this year or worse than the 49ers? Remember that game last year? The Bears lost 33-22. Is the offense better this year against the 49ers or worse against the 49ers? We're talking to you about it. 312-332-3776. Remember, Cap was talking about last year, Justin Fields, Khalil Herbert. Montgomery was not available because of injury. Ryan Nall, Mooney, Jesse James, Cole Kmet, Allen Robinson was on that team. What's better? What's worse this time around against the 49ers? Cap and Jay Hood, mornings at 7.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the Armchair Nutritionist with Danny Zetterman. If you want to get yourself in shape, know, got to find out what to eat, when not to eat it, he can always tell you at the Armchair Nutritionist. Just click Armchair Nutritionist is right there on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock and our big, bold NFL predictions coming your way at 8:15 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Cap and I are asking your thoughts about the Bears. The Bears offense better this time around against the 49ers, or was it better last time that the Bears played the 49ers, in which the Bears lost that game 33-22? Crystal Lake, here's Matt on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
We're great.
What's going on with you, Sparky?
Hey, good, thanks. I just wanted to make a couple points on why I think the offense is way better positioned than last year. First of all, the obvious, the coaching and play calling, scheming, and the identity of the team itself is light years ahead of what it was under Nagy. I mean, if you guys recall how many games we lost to boneheaded calls in the fourth quarter by Nagy, such as third and eight or ten with time running out, he calls for a passing play into the end zone instead of running down the clock, things like that. Second thing, also penalties. I would expect a lot less drive killing penalties throughout the games throughout the season. There's a big focus on that.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to mention real quick, and I'd like your thoughts on this, mm-hmm. is the roster itself. There's so much talk about how we don't have weapons and whatnot, but, I mean, look at the actual roster on paper. And I agree with Cap on a lot of things, but just I wanted to see your thoughts on that. Look at the actual roster on paper last year versus this year. The wide receiver room, is it better or is it worse? I mean, what did we lose? We lost an unmotivated Allen Robinson that we didn't want to pay, right?
But still a guy you had to... if you didn't have to game plan for him, you had to pay damn strict attention to him.
If you have any semblance of an offensive game plan, Allen Robinson could have been the guy. Unmotivated because he wasn't getting the football. Unmotivated because he would run routes and he wouldn't get the ball. Everything was 5 and in, 7 and in. That guy is supposed to watch. I put it this way, Cap, when we see Robinson this year with the Rams, oh my God, an adult offense. That's what we're going to see.
I completely agree.
He may not be the man, but he's going to have a lot better numbers here.
Because he's
here.
Got so many weapons around him.
Right.
I mean, Cooper Kupp immediately. Higbee. If they do end up getting OBJ back after the ACL. There's just weapons everywhere.
You know what we're hearing this morning? A lot of people are just saying anything's better than Nagy.
Correct.
To say it's markedly better, you're talking about something we don't know. We have no idea what the offense is going to look like. But what they're saying is, even with a rookie in the position like Luke Getsy, first time as an offensive coordinator, and with a young quarterback, it'll be better than Nagy. I guess they're saying anything's better than 30th or 31st in the league.
So last year's wide receiver room was Nasimba Webster, Allen Robinson. These are guys, anybody that had any time at all. Daz Newsome, Darnell Mooney, Jesper Horsted, who played that hybrid role, mm-hmm. Jakeem Grant, Marquise Goodwin, Isaiah Coulter, Demir Bird, Rodney Adams, and that was about it. So I think the wide receiver room this year potentially is better. Potentially.
It's a lot of question marks, though. The St. Brown, and like I don't know what that is.
Right. Pringle. My big concern about those guys, and
but Robinson's better than all of them.
No question. My big concern is the Green Bay Packers lost Alan Lazard. He asked out. Yep. He's in Vegas. They have some draft picks there, but they have nobody proven other than Alan Lazard. And they said to Equanimeous St. Brown, hey, you can go to Chicago. We're good. You're out. Okay. That guy caught zero touchdowns, and he had the two-time MVP as his quarterback. Zero! Mm-hmm. And in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill. And guess what? Yeah, we're good, Byron Pringle. You can go to Chicago. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
That concerns me.
Right.
They both had a need, and they both let their guys go. Mm-hmm. I hope they play well.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.